This is Kennedy Malloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia and welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. It is a monster.
It is a big
straight
one,
straight out
Malloy.
Of the blocks today on the big Monday. Let me tell you, Malcolm Turnbull will be in here, the PM, to discuss
really?
30 in a row.
Yeah.
Does he regret ever saying
have to
that
think
in the first
so.
Place? We'll talk to him.
Okay. Why not? We're going to have the Commonwealth Games update because gold is just pouring out of every orifice of Australia at the moment.
There's an image.
Yeah.
I prefer just say gold rush, Jane,
gold
in the future.
Rush. Pardon
Thank
me.
You. We'll also okay. talk about Ian Thorpe and Gian Rooney's spectacular night on the tiles, courtesy of a Channel 7.
Getaway car.
Getaway car. Is the best way to describe it, Joan?
I call bullshit over a few things that have happened over the weekend.
We'll get to that. Yes. Michael Clark making a comeback. That could be one of them. The US Masters. We love this. We're going to talk about this in just a moment.
There's quite a lot to it, actually, for this time we're going to talk through.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, different moving parts. Rusty Crowe had his auction.
Yes, he did.
And really made a monster. And it was a great success, to be honest.
Is it the world's...
Is Mick Coyne going to live up
Whoa!
To the same... the same expectation.
You've thrown down the gauntlet
there. I have
there,
thrown it
and
down.
And the gauntlet is for sale for one Mick Coyne. Let me just tell you that. Unpopular winners. We'll Ooh. Get to the bottom. This is interesting, and
it
it's opened up today, and we'll talk about that.
Apropos of the Masters.
Apropos of the Masters. Yes. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. Did I mention Lawrence Mooney at any stage?
No.
You didn't, but he's going to come in as well, which is fantastic.
All right.
Whereas
I love
seeing
that.
Him.
That sounds great. And Eddie Betts. I want to talk about congratulations to Eddie Betts.
Of course.
Proud father of two
twin girls.
Yeah. But interesting, we'll have a discussion about his antics over the weekend. All this and much, much more here on the big program.
Let's get the show happening.
While you're up and about.
Oh, well, because I'm on the Red Bull.
The two of us, this rarely happens, but both of us at...
we've just gone to the machine on the way into the studio and we've gone...
That looks good.
I wish, it's a bit sweet. Do they make Diet Red Bull?
You know what you need, a shot of vodka in there.
I do, actually. Hello. Sure
hey, we're a bit tired because we spent all weekend up watching the US Masters. I'm so happy you did it too. And,
of course,
I had my two boys.
You did.
With me for the whole weekend and took them to their first game of football.
Oh, how'd that go? Did you last the whole game?
They did.
Oh,
I was
that's
so
a
proud
big
of
deal.
Them. Yes, and everyone made a bit of a fuss of them. Two jam donuts it took each in
Is
terms
that all?
Of bribery. That was it.
Not
Gee,
bad.
You got out of it pretty well. Dave, how are you?
And you know what I thought? You know what I thought the whole time I was sitting there?
What?
And I was with my mate Chowie, so we got four season tickets, so we look after the boys. We go together, we're all Tigers. And he mentioned it to me, and I said the same. We just can't wait till they're old enough to get us beers. We're going to keep going to the footy every week, and just what a glorious day it'll be.
That moment.
Hoi, you two, off. And we sit there like lords. On the walk to the ground, we pass three pubs, and let's be honest, that's something Chowie and Daddy would ordinarily not walk straight past.
Have
so
done.
Something's
See,
good.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've often wanted one of the kids to top up my wine. And there's a little bit of a guilt factor when you get a kid pouring your mum's wine.
Yeah, when you dress them up in a little tuxedo too, Jane, and make them wait
with
beside you
on
the couch. Beside the couch. I think it's going too far.
Too
what did you do on the weekend? Dangerous day?
I bought a high pressure water system. A Karcher.
Oh, my God.
And that's why they call him dangerous.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
This
are you serious?
Will change your life.
You bought
Nick.
A Karcher.
I did. A Karcher.
Oh, that's
from
all
Bunnings.
I want. That's
okay.
all
Can
I want.
Can I ask a question here?
What?
What's a Karcher?
Oh, my
oh,
God.
You're
it's
adorable.
So, you are adorable. Oh, you funny
what
old
the
thing.
What the F is a Karcher?
It's
and
one of
can
those.
Can I get one?
Is oh, you would love
I'll
this.
I'll give you a Mick coin for it.
Sure. Ooh. I'll do your swap.
What?
Oh,
no,
hang on.
I don't know
on.
What it is
Actually,
yet.
No,
that's
I
not a good swap.
No, it's not a good swap.
It's a high-powered, high-pressured water cleaner
Ooh.
That just gets
everything.
All stuff off your concrete, off your driveway,
man.
Off your walls. Ooh. It's like being
off
a
your,
Ghostbuster.
Off your underpants. Sure.
Well, I'm sure it could. That is what I want for Mother's Day. There you go. I've said it.
Do
I
it.
Want a Karcher.
Yeah.
You can't. It's not...
What do you mean you can't
you
ask?
You can't request it. It's not,
yes, you
no,
can.
There's no registry sure. for Mother's
Pardon
Day.
Pardon me. How do you think
doing?
Any mother gets a present?
So
you have no idea.
What's a typical Mother's Day gift for you?
A really lovely handmade card. Okay.
Say it with more enthusiasm, sorry, please.
Really nice.
You can get the high power, the really high powered ones. Oh, like they're really expensive.
Like the double X,
yeah, the 250 KPIs and stuff. But then
Dave,
you can go down.
May I remind you, this is a national radio. Oh, we're on program. Air. We're on air. You're talking about your Karcher.
Oh, hey,
let's get straight into the US Masters.
Well, of course.
I love a good sporting event.
Can I just set it up before because we talk Masters, Dave?
Yeah.
Thank you. This is what I've been hearing in my house all weekend.
When you think of names like Bob Jones,
yes,
Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods,
yes,
you think of the US Masters, you think of the green jacket, you think of the glory and the tradition that is Augusta National Golf Course. It is unbelievable, and I love it.
Did you visit Augusta when you're on your recent travels?
No, I
didn't. We can fade the music
because
I love that music.
I went to the West Coast, and I was...
Oh, you're in Cyprus.
I was in Cyprus. Oh. I played Cyprus, everyone. Look it up. I dare you to try and get on it. It's impossible. So I've played Cyprus. I look at Augusta, and they're probably chalking, you know, pretty much in the one and the same. It is bucket list stuff, though.
But you know how I look forward to, like, a royal wedding?
Oh, totally.
Is it every year for you guys?
Totally.
Like, the Masters is like that.
It's amazing. The tradition is amazing. Mm. It's just tossed up so many historical moments over the years.
Yes.
There's always something unfolding. There's always, even in, although this idiot's won it, we'll talk about him later.
Yes,
there's,
we will.
There was like five former winners queued up behind him. Ready to have a crack at it. So Tiger went well. And well, he made the cut. He didn't shoot the lights out, but he was there. That would have been the one.
Oh my God.
What a great chapter in the Masters tradition that would have been.
I agree.
But it's so funny. The golf course traditions and the battle, the biggest prize in golf, is this ill-fitting green jacket.
But I love that moment when it's handed over.
makes you look like you should be parking cars out the front of the clubhouse.
Valet style.
And instead of being acknowledged as the greatest. You know what they also get to do? They also get to come back the next year and host the Masters dinner. Where they get to host the night and choose the menu.
I've read about this.
What would you, if you were a Masters venue? Why not have a sort of a Hooters feel?
Really?
Chicken and busty waitresses.
Well, that would be very
classy.
Or
a spit. What about a big spit?
That would be idea.
That would be a stroke.
Yeah.
Or a hangy.
A what?
Oh, that's what the New Zealand Michael, what's his name, we would have done.
Well, what would you do?
Look, I would have served up...
Uber Eats.
I would say that's not far off.
Can I tell you this?
Tiger Woods actually did serve burgers and fries at his. Did you know that?
Well, that's so you should. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Let's have a look at those blokes.
But they said
Craig Perry.
They were saying they've never been more nervous. It was when they hold those dinners, and there's no seating, so they have to just sit where they
feel
they should sit. And it's they said they've never been more uptight when they go to a dinner.
It is fantastic. The other thing about the tournament is last year's winner Sergio Garcia had 13. Yep. On a hole. Now, there aren't many tournaments that do that, but there's been some great meltdowns. And one of the great joys to me and most amateur golfers is seeing a professional golfer look like an amateur golfer.
Yes.
If the British Open's ever in Carnoustie, people watch it. You'll love it. Here's the other thing I've noticed.
Yep.
We talked about the green jacket, but fashion is never... Yeah, high point.
Golf and fashion is a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it?
And when you look back through the years, it doesn't stand the test of time.
No.
Can I give you my theory?
What?
I've got a theory.
Okay.
That golf fashion totally exists to allow heterosexual men dress a little bit gay.
Oh, really?
You have a look at it.
Hang on.
Have a look at
them. It is very pastel-y.
Pastels, bang.
Yes.
It's very pastel plaid.
Knit.
V-necks.
Patched
V-neck with stripes.
One of those players is coming up the 18th wearing orange pants.
He was too.
White shoes and an orange cap.
Yep.
He would never wear that down the shops to get a carton of milk.
I don't. What's a perfect excuse to fly, isn't it? To spread your wings fashion wise.
I'm going to just camp it up a tad. I'm going to wear my plaid pants today.
Tell me, what do you wear on the golf? Yeah. Do you jazz it up
plus
a little?
Plus fours.
But are they a jazzy colour?
Whatever I've managed to pack drunk.
Do you know what I wear?
Usually something I've purchased in the pro shop so I can play their course.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk a bit more about the Masters.
We'll talk about the winner.
And the winner specifically. Very interesting.
We'll come back and talk Comm Games, though.
Okay, great.
Big show on the way.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
A Kennedy Malloy Commonwealth Games update.
Indeed.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm just looking at our tally.
Have another Red Bull.
Our medal.
Yes.
Just the lazy 87 medals.
87.
Australia.
Well, that's a bad number for us. Get off it quickly.
Really?
That's quite in cricketing terms.
87's a spooky
That's the bogey number.
But it's 33 gold.
It's not all good news up there. So this is a wide-ranging Comm Games report, and I just want to... The only sour note so far at the Comm Games is strip clubs on the Gold Coast reporting attendances are down and are struggling.
That's terribly sad, Mick.
You know, it's hard to put on a show without a victim somewhere, but this is it. Attendance is down, all strip clubs. It makes me feel sad.
Oh.
If you are up in the area, get along and help out.
Really?
Isn't this a family time?
I think that's right. Isn't that kind of the issue?
Put the kids to bed, Dad, and head down the road.
And
put something back into the local economy. I almost feel like I should be up there helping out. Do you know what I mean?
You really think so?
Do you know some people hear of like whales on the beach and they go, oh, no, and they go down there and try and push them back into the ocean and do it? Well, I feel this is my time.
To shine.
To step in and help out when people need it most.
Yeah. It's very good of you to
community service.
I'd like to give something back.
Yeah. You do.
See you on,
but that is, it seems
see
to be
you
a
See you at
real...
the Australia Day Honours.
Seems to be a real issue, Mick.
87 medals. I won from shooting, which is great for us.
Who's this young Dane Sampson. He wins air rifle gold.
Was it the 10-metre air rifle?
Yes, it was.
That's not very far. I reckon I could win that.
My God. Now you're an expert in shooting, are you?
What do you win, a fluffy toy?
Yeah. Somehow.
And an air rifle, I mean, you can aim higher than that, can't you?
Oh my God, really?
You know, we used to shoot air rifles at each other in a paddock. At each other. That's how you knew you're on target when it started to sting.
Somehow.
Not in the face, boys. Yeah. That was the advice from my friend's father.
Pretty sure that training... all those years, and Samson's 31. I think he's put a lot of effort into winning his gold medal, so I don't think you can just rock up.
Do you know what? It's great. I like the shooting, but they need to.
Need to what?
A bit more across the board. I mean, what do you mean? What about sampling for the sawn off?
What would you shoot with the sawn off? What's the target?
Well, I'll tell you what they should do if it's a demonstration sport in Australia.
What?
They should be shooting at road signs. That's how most shooters I know know if you hit it. Yep. Here it comes. Oh, look,
that's
bullseye.
Such a funny sound.
Bullseye. Got the kangaroo right in the head. What about the drive-by?
That's funny.
You know, like modernise it. The drive-by. Car comes flying through, out the side, banger, 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 banger.
I don't think that's ideal.
No, I don't think it's ideal either. You've just lost the spirit of the game.
I'd just like to see some balaclavas on the podium. That's all I'm saying. Is it too much to us? All right.
Hey, Prince Charles, he's been out and about.
Has he? What's he done?
Well, he's been presenting awards. He's been, you know, doing his thing.
He has done his thing as opposed to Camilla, who's unsighted.
Oh, don't get me started. I'll talk about her later. But
good to see him up in Yucala, up there in Gove, doing the right thing and getting out and meeting people, pulling the finger out.
That's right. He's going to appear on MasterChef Australia too, did you know?
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be in cooking for him up in the Northern Territory, I think.
Cook for him? I mean, I bet you there's turnips involved.
Turnips. Mickey, there is the story so far of the games.
This is it. We've buried the lead.
This is amazing.
This is incredible.
Okay. It involves two of our biggest commentators and former sports swimming stars.
Yeah, sure.
Ian Thorpe and Jan Rooney.
Who are working for Channel 7 as part of the broadcast.
Yep. Okay. So here's the story. They're in a limo that's taking them around because from their hotel.
A chauffeur-driven limousine.
To the commentary box.
Organised by Channel 7, no doubt.
That's right. Presumably to the swimming they were going to.
Anyway, they were. They're going to the pavilion,
Pulled over by the coppers. Oh, maybe. And they probably thought, they're just saying g'day. Yeah. Welcome to the Gold Coast.
Motorcade.
How are you going? Motorcade.
Can we get you there?
No. Reportedly, they're in a stolen vehicle.
Whoa.
This is hilarious.
Yeah. the car was a stolen vehicle.
Right.
The coppers made them get out and left them there. So somehow they had to walk
to the aquatic center.
Fair income. That has got to be the story of the Comm Games, I reckon.
Ian Thorpe, Gian Rooney in a stolen car, probably on their way to knock over a 7-Eleven. Who knows?
Who knows what's been going on?
I'm surprised
on,
they didn't do a runner.
Funny.
Imagine if they'd have done a runner where the cops get there.
They could have done it by coverage.
Do you know what? They can play dumb all they like, but they've still got to explain why Hamish McLachlan was tied up in the boot. That's all I want to know.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
With a little segment called...
I Call Bullshit.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to open with something that's caused a little bit of, not controversy, but
yes.
I was, you know, it's a bit polarising. I tweeted this on Friday night. Mm-hmm. I read in the paper that the president of the Commonwealth Games, Louise Martin, has tried to excuse the Duchess of Cornwall's look of boredom, which we all saw as she was flipping through a magazine or through the program. She's tried to explain it away by saying she was jet-lagged. So this is what the organiser says. She says she was jet-lagged. She just got off the plane. She did full duty right through, and the only time she got a break was when she sat in the car from Brisbane down to here. It was when you're back-to-back like that, coming off a long-haul flight, she literally hates flying. She really wanted to go to sleep.
Right.
Well, I call bullshit.
Oh.
I call bullshit.
Because
why?
You have one job. You were invited here with your husband, who's going to be king of Australia. To sit there, it's really not a big ask. Through a ceremony, bad luck, you're royal, that's what you do. Feign enthusiasm, fake it. And don't whinge, oh, I'm jet-lagged because I've sat in a first-class VIP flight, as if she's down at number 76B.
Would they be up the front of the plane, do you reckon?
Well, you reckon? They're squashed down in economy on a Qantas flight.
And he's done it. He's behaved like a thoroughbred.
He's
opened it. He's up at Yucala today. He's out and about.
He's getting out and about. Oh, she's exhausted because, you know what, too? They came here 2 days before the game started.
All right.
And they went to some resort. I'm not happy.
Booney got off a plane in England after 48
completely
cans
pissed.
And played test cricket.
There you go.
I mean, come on.
Oh, people weren't happy with me, though.
What happened?
Oh, James, she's elderly. Paul, she's 71. That's not elderly. Get back to me on that one,
71.
Everyone.
What's that in horse years?
Well, now you say it, it is pretty old.
Well, can I? Are you done?
I'm done.
Well, I would like to, while we're heading down the royal track.
What?
Your commitment to Prince Edward.
I call bullshit.
What do you mean, my commitment to him?
You make out you've got some long-standing relationship. You've been pen pals forever. He was out here.
I know.
He was out here over the weekend.
Well, he disappointed me.
He played royal tennis with Russell Howcroft. I've seen the pictures.
I've seen
them
too.
And where were you?
Well, you know what?
Like you should have been at the front of that royal tennis room like a band mole.
Mate, I'm not a royal mole. I'm not a royal mole.
The job's taken. I don't even know who I'm referring to there. But
I don't know either.
Fergie. Okay. Oh. What if... old toe sucker. Well, where were you?
Shut up.
And what happened?
Well, listen.
You came out
I'm not that desperate.
That
and I'm not that...
freak.
Hey, no.
Oh, come on.
No, don't go someone about that.
All those...
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he's got that male pattern baldness, which is... You know,
well, that's not his fault.
I can't say...
He's inherited that.
Some people are overweight now. I can't mention people without any hair. What can you do?
I think he's here for a month, by the way.
I'm in this mental prison.
Listen, you don't miss.
Keep your cap on.
Shut up.
You know what you should do? Get your karchi
yeah.
and rub it over that
stubble
and noggin.
Okay.
You don't even
you know, think
know
of
what
when
it
I
is.
Hear karchi?
What?
Mail order bride? Some description?
Well, of course you do.
Yeah. Hey,
pull
your finger out. Okay, I've got another one for you.
Wait, oh, really?
Okay, here we go.
No, you're on a roll.
Ladies first.
All right, I was going to have a go at a mum in Texas. I call bullshit on her. Accidentally sending her son to school in a T-shirt that says, I'm loving it. And it's a red T-shirt with a yellow pair of stiletto-heeled legs spread.
Yeah, that looks like the McDonald's.
That looks like the McDonald's M.
Oh.
Can I just call bullshit on her?
I call bullshit.
That she didn't know the golden arches were in fact spread legs of a woman in stilettos and sent her poor 11-year-old son to school in it, you clown. That is disgraceful.
I have to say, I'm loving it.
Look at this little boy. He's so proud of his T-shirt.
Little boy for show and tell. What's going on? What have I done?
Oh, my God.
It looks like, you know, those mud flaps on truckies have.
Yes,
on
the back does of that. Their tracks. That's it. Exactly it.
Yeah, well, she's an idiot. What about this one?
Mm-hmm.
on all the sportsmen out there who claim if it ever came down to it, they would rather be and would make sure they're at the birth of their child than at the game.
I
call bullshit.
Oh, really?
I call bullshit. I've been waiting for this moment.
It's finally happened
and someone's been found out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get sick of it. On the eve of a final series and you've got players at like Pendlebury or at the top of their craft in any sport going, oh, I tell you what, I know I'd miss the granny.
Oh, yes.
But if it came down to it.
To be at the birth.
And then they all pray that there's no conflict. And then they can rightly forever after say, I would have done it.
I said it publicly.
Well, Eddie Betts, who is a great footballer, and congratulations to him, had twin girls over the weekend, but he would only know that because he FaceTimed them because he was at the ground playing football.
Yeah,
because
your boy's hand was broken. It broke this morning and she wanted me to fly back, but it happened so quick, 30 minutes, so I was on FaceTime in the lobby. Watching back.
Okay, so Eddie Betts, who plays, of course, for Adelaide Crows.
Yeah.
Twin girls. By FaceTime.
By FaceTime. While he participated in a round three clash against St Kilda.
Okay, so it wasn't the most challenging game.
That's the one you mark down in your calendar at the start.
And only round three,
Finally busted. Yeah. You grandstanding, fibbing, elite sportsman who finally been revealed. Oh, no, I'd be there.
Good on you, Eddie.
Like he would. No man's there unless he even said has to.
He never said it, did he? That he'd be there.
But they all do.
Oh, I know.
Come on,
all right. Okay. Have I got another one? Yes, I have somewhere.
Michael Clarke. What about Michael Clarke? Can I?
Oh, this is interesting.
I call bullshit.
Which aspect?
On all of it. Firstly, that he could captain Australia again and save us. Secondly, that he's now denying that he ever wanted to come back. He sent out a tweet saying, I don't know what all the bullshit's about. It's been taken out of context.
Yeah, no, I think I...
There's an audio...
Clip?
Do we have it?
Not yet.
We don't have it. Robert Craddock, I think, from the News Corp, has released the audio, which says, I could play till I'm 45 and I'm feeling fit.
I did read that in the paper.
Take that as someone
who's only 37 at the moment, so he could rightly play.
Well, it's quite possible.
But they wouldn't make him captain,
Well, that would be the only reason to come back. I would have thought to captain a team of youngsters and...
Oh, and lead them.
And lead them.
Because that's what they're lacking.
And direct them in how to play for them.
I see. Oh, well, that's...
Well, I'm not sure how he helps. I mean, I still blame Lara Bingle.
Let it go, man.
He wants to let it go. I've got one more.
Oh, I
call bullshit on Tracy from Married at First Sight.
I call bullshit.
She reckons she's reversed 9 grand's worth of surgery on her face.
Did you get a refund for that?
I call bullshit on that. Sorry.
Why would you call bullshit?
Because reversing all the cheekbone implants and the lip implants and all her boobs and all that, I just go, I think you've just watched yourself on the telly and you went, oh my God, is that what my lips look like?
You know I've had some work done, don't you?
Oh,
I'm nervous to ask. Well,
two chins added. a pair of love handles here, which I really like.
Really?
And there's some gout on my toes. Which
good investment.
Really. It cost me a fortune. Really? I'd never reverse it.
Hey, all right.
Get involved. Yeah. Give us a call. Spot any bullshit?
What do you call bullshit
Put your antenna up.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
Right in the middle of...
I call bullshit.
133353 is the number.
It's a good segment. It's good to get involved.
It's good to get it off your chest too and have a think about things.
If you've got a bit of a bullshit meter, now's the time to prove it and give us a call.
We're talking about Michael Clarke before, and Paul, you've want to add Michael.
Yeah, g'day there. I'm calling bullshit on his attempted comeback or whatever. He's been out too long and he's too old.
All right. So he's denying he said he was going to make a comeback, but Robert Craddock has just released this audio from the interview that News Corp did with them on the day, and this is him talking to a News Corp reporter.
I want to help in any way I can, if that's support, if that's mentor. Age, I've never cared about an age, whether it be 16 playing first grade or 45, Brad Hogg.
Still
going playing 2020. I don't think it's about a number. I think it's about commitment. I think it's about devotion.
He's clearly talking about playing.
Well, he must be thinking of it. But it'd be frustrating if you're at the... He's never been fitter.
Yeah.
If you're sitting back watching what's going on, I understand why he's itchy to come and...
He has a great place in history, Australian Test history. He's I think he's the first captain of Australia to ever have a sleeve tattoo. I know
really?
Wally Grout had a nipple ring. And I think he's the first captain ever to declare on Twitter.
Oh, what? I really just was going along with the
line. Everybody in.
I wouldn't mind seeing Michael back.
You wouldn't mind seeing him back?
No, I'd like. I'd really love it. I actually honestly
okay.
would.
Okay. Joseph.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Good.
Yeah, you're calling bullshit on what?
Prince Philip's hip replacement. I mean,
I call bullshit.
All right, yep. Why?
Well, I know if my grandmother fell over and broke her hip, they go, nah, she's too old. They wouldn't replace her whole hip now, would they?
Oh, so do you suspect it's something else that he's in hospital with?
Yeah, maybe a heart string or something.
Well, I thought you were... this is why I'm sus. This guy now gets out of every royal engagement with an ailment. He didn't go to the Queen's Jubilee celebrations because he had a bit of flu or
That's
something.
Right.
They always cut to him at home with his head on a cushion or something. that guy is just... He's on the couch. He's watching sport. He's going...
I think they let him go.
Doing this for 70 years.
Correct.
Sticky Jubilee, fair up your clacker. 100%.
If you need me. Good on you.
So I think that's what he's up to.
Thanks, Joseph. Hey, Dave.
Hello, guys. How are we going?
Good. What do you call bullshit on?
I'm going to call a massive bullshit on Mick Molloy.
What?
Whoa!
Call bullshit.
I hope you know what you're talking about, Dave.
Well, mate, you walk past three bars with your mates, go into your footy with kids, and you don't go in and have...
They
got beer.
I was sus about that too, Dave.
How dare you, Dave?
Dave gets a prize. Lawrence Mooney tickets for you, Dave. Well done, mate. I like that.
You walked past three pubs, you said, on the way to the footy and didn't go in, even with the boys.
I didn't talk about the way home. celebrate a famous victory.
Good on you, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, you're an idiot. and you've made a very powerful enemy.
And you can have a prize, Dave.
Yeah, you got one.
Well, yeah, you got one. Jason, what do you call bullshit on?
I'm calling bullshit on Tony Abbott not rerunning for the Liberal Party.
I call bullshit.
Yes, I think you might be onto it here.
I think he might be too.
He said in the polls this morning he didn't want to run, but I reckon he's just waiting there like a little snake ready to pounce for his moment. I reckon he's ready to go.
It's going to be an interesting week in politics. We'll have Lee Sales on the show tomorrow talk about this.
Because she's talking to the Prime Minister tonight. Oh, no, she's talking to the opposition leader tonight.
I don't know. She'll be up to something. If I know Lee Sales.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I want one time? Can we get Lee in here to really grill me on something? I'd really love to know what it's like.
To
be on the receiving end of someone who's done all their own work.
She does it well.
So next time I get myself into, some trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Next time I say something stupid on the radio.
Could be today. Who knows? Yeah.
Could we get her in and face the
full fury.
A Category 5 Lee Sales just to know what it would be like to be on the receiving end of a withering cross-examination.
Done. Sounds great.
That was a line in the sand moment in Australian politics. 30 news polls in a row.
Why would you say it?
At the time, you just want the chockies.
Just want to be in.
This is Kennedy Molloy. Your new way to drive home.
Russell Crowe had his auction on the weekend.
It's amazing, this is. It really is.
He made $3.7 million.
This is the best garage sale ever.
Best garage sale in Australia.
Yeah.
I have to say, this is what was flipping me out. All the items were in such pristine condition, and he had them at the Carriage Works in Sydney and it all set up. You inspect at an auction, you can have, paintings and things are out for a few days before the actual auction. And it was presented so well. It looked so good. And it bloody paid off because he's made a mozza. He says, not a bad hourly rate for a 5-hour shift, he wrote on Twitter.
Yeah. I imagine him sitting around like, that guy at the end of Citizen Kane?
Yes.
In a big room full of boxes, just stuff he's collected. Rosebud.
I tell you, it was really exciting.
It was really exciting, was it?
I watched it on Facebook.
Watching Russell Crowe flog a few items from
Well, he didn't. He came out at the end, but there was like proper. It's Sotheby's. It's a very posh sort of auction company.
Can I tell you something?
What?
This is what I'm doing with Mick Coyne.
Oh, my God.
Listen to me.
You're trying to do a catalogue and do an auction like Russell.
I have 100 Mick Coynes. As you know, so far they've been traded for goods and services.
Yes, I do.
Once I receive all the goods and services, I am going to put them into a catalogue like Russell Crowe's.
What? Really?
And resell them back to the public. And it's going to be an exhibition that you can go to. It's going to be an exhibition.
Oh, so my God.
Like the opening of an art gallery.
Wow.
So you'll go in and you'll see...
Mick, what will we see? Like a black label mint condition penthouse magazine?
Yes, yes, you will. It'll be open to a page. He'll have an inscription telling you.
It'll be behind Perspex.
Yes.
In a box.
And there'll be plenty of bush.
Oh, for God's sakes. Andy Lee has given you a tailor-made driver golf club, which Tiger Woods is using.
Yes, well, that will be circulating on a rotunda like in a gift shop with a picture of
like
me.
Sale of the century.
With a picture of me next to Tiger Woods behind it. Both in our golf
What are you going to do about me with the dinner I'm going to serve
So
you?
I'm going to recreate after the meal. Yeah. You know how they do this as installations?
After the meal, presuming I'm still going to bloody do it.
You know how they do this in installations where they'll take someone's bedroom and recreate it and put it into the theatre? I'm going to take the entire dinner table, plates and everything, the drained bottles of red wine with 2 inches left in the bottom, and I'm going to set it with name tags so people can look at it through glass.
Like a replica.
Like a complete life-size down to the
diorama, is that what they call it?
Diorama?
Down to the stains on your carpet. It is going to be an exact replica.
That sounds really quite interesting, I have to say. You're still being offered amazing
stuff. I don't know how to do
stuff.
This. I don't know what to do for the Night at Kittens. I think what I'll do is just have a pole dancer there dancing away. With clothes on. But if you can through headphones, you can hear the soundtrack of...
and no undies.
Poor little sugar on it. No, she's wearing... She's dressed. I mean, it's going to be a family show.
Jane.
A family show. Okay, so we got to get through all this damn Mick
coin. You'll be like MoMA, you know, down in Tassie.
Yes,
in fact,
I do.
I'm going to get them to help me curate it. I'm going to get someone
here,
fly them up. We're going to take over a space.
Very interesting.
And then we'll release
Mr. Walsh to come and just check.
And then I'm
going to
release
part of
a Sotheby's style thing like Crowey.
That's hilarious.
Instead of having like a violin worth $200,000, it'll be, I don't know, a stick with some bottle tops on it. A Warnie doll. The Warnie doll, we'll have to be able to hear what he's saying every so often.
It'll just be on high rotation.
No, you won't know when it's going to go off. That's why you have to stay there.
Mm. You are so genuinely
excited. It was like
that,
you know, that Yoko Ono, when she did the thing for the Modern Art in Sydney.
Yes.
There was a phone there, and it was there for the entire exhibition because she was going to ring at some stage during. It's true. So it's like
we just don't know when Warnie's going to speak.
People would just hang around and occasionally and wait to see if the phone rang. And if the phone rang, you could pick it up and it would be Yoko Ono on the other end. I might do that.
Mickey, there was some foolish man. I'm saying foolish, but he was going to dress up in a mankini. And
well, to get his coin.
He was going to dress up in a mankini and shout your name out loud. Is that correct?
And walking through the streets of his CBD.
And you said you would give it him if he did said job.
Yes.
And Ben, how did you go?
Yeah, we had a bit of fun. It was good.
And I've received the videotape.
No way.
Yes. Oh. And that videotape will be playing.
Really?
So next to Mick coin number 5.
Well, Ben, congratulations. How many Mick coin was it?
Of course, once Ben signs a release, I'll
Ben, how did you feel?
I was happy with just the one, but Mickey boy wants to flesh out a few. For my wife, it would be greatly appreciated.
No,
are you
one's
serious?
Enough. One's enough. Ray, there's plenty to go around. These things.
I'm not greedy.
You should hear some of the goods and services I was offered over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Bubba, bubba.
Oh.
I don't want to know.
Can I take a couple home with me, please?
No, you must leave them in the special safe here at Kennedy Malloy.
And also at
Thank
my,
you, Ben. Well
at,
done.
At my exhibition, I'm going to have a vending machine where it only accepts Mick coins.
Oh.
So there'll be stuff in there that I really like.
So the people who have helped curate it
have
to go along
and put their
money in and then you get it back. Well, you haven't thought this through very well.
Hey, by the way. They'll be like Willy Wonka's. There'll be one Mick coin. Everyone gets a coin on the way in, but only one works. Yes. Only one works.
Make him stop, Dave.
Yeah. Everyone goes up to the, let's call it the golden.
That's enough.
Yeah, ticket.
Have another Red Bull.
That's it.
And inside there's just one packet of burger.
Hey, by the way, that video of Ben in the mankini will throw up on Instagram as well. Yeah, that'll be on Kennedy Malloy. And congratulations, Ben. You've got yourself a Mick coin.
Oh, lucky Ben.
Big second hour coming.
Yes, we've got the Prime Minister. We're going to talk to him about the big
3-0. He is on the ropes. Lawrence Mooney will be in. And unpopular sporting wins. I think this is something we need to talk about.
All right, coming up, Kennedy Malloy.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to go off like a firecracker when Lawrence Mooney arrives to give us all the guff, bring us up to speed, tell us what we need to know.
I agree. Now, we're going to talk about unpopular winners because, I don't know, the Masters has a new prince.
Patrick Reed.
But we're just a bit iffy.
Yeah, jury's out. Jury's not out. It's actually against.
It is actually.
It's come back
we'll
in the negative.
We'll explain a bit more.
We'll explain and put it to you to give us some calls.
And not just winners in sport, other unpopular winners perhaps
that we've had over the years. Dead right. So we'll throw a very wide net over that one. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But is there one big news story of the day, Jane, that we need to get to?
Oh, yes, there is. There is. The one big news story, but we should should we introduce?
No, let's just set the scene first. So many years ago, our Prime Minister,
before he was Prime Minister,
actually took the, he's taking calls as
he
we
is.
Speak.
He said.
Laid down the gauntlet. He laid his claim to the throne by saying, you've just had 30 negative news polls in a row. You've got to go.
This was to Tony Abbott when he was Prime Minister.
You can no longer.
Change the guard.
The Australian public has spoken. You're done.
Pass
the
baton.
Put a fork in
it. See you, mate.
You're out of history.
Yep.
Sayonara. Waiter. Check, please.
Big call.
Done. Well. The Prime Minister himself has just come up against 30 negative news polls. Over to you, the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who calls us now.
Good afternoon to you.
Obviously, you're here to resign, or you're here to tell us that you're no longer fit to govern.
Would you like to sit down? Because you look a bit sweaty. You look a bit like
I am sweaty. I've just had a vermicelli with some chilli. And I am sweating up a treat. I've had a great weekend. I was out on the harbour kayaking. And
saw that picture.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always sun smart with the big brim on. And it doesn't look good on me. I've got a square little head, and I look quite odd.
You didn't have your sea legs either, did you? And you had a couple? No, I
was frowning because I was being papped as I got out. And sometimes, you know, your shorts ride up on your ghoulies, and with a bit of water, you don't know what you're going to present as you drag yourself out of the hatch there after an invigorating kayak.
Do you need a little flag on the front of your kayak, like on your government card? I think there should be some.
I should have a little flag and C1.
Funny.
That's what's written on the car, and I don't know whether that's somebody's idea of a job.
Number one C in
the country.
You're cooked.
Michael,
your days are numbered.
Before we go on, I just want to say to you, Jane Kennedy, I was following you on Insta on the weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I like that shot of you and your big dog. Oh, what kind of a dog is that?
You're trying to change the subject, aren't you?
I'm not trying to change the subject.
It's a big dog.
I've fallen for it. I used to have a blog where I would speak as a dog. I would voice the blog as a dog.
Really?
Malcolm's blog dog. Dog blog. Right. It's the truth.
Let's get back to the story.
I love domestic animals. I miss our little dogs.
Can we get back to the big story of the day, which is 30 negative news polls?
That was Shih Tzu, Australian Terrier crosses.
Mr. Turnbull, we put it to you that you had said about Mr. Abbott that, you know, you gave him the heave-ho, basically, and now 30 news polls, negative. We ask you, what do you have to say about this? And where is your position tenable?
We got a terrific cut of lamb on the weekend. And I put it in the smoker. We've got a little smoker. We're into the slow cooking movement.
Yes.
I matched it with a Sangiovese, a Chianti Classico. And I'll tell you what.
Can I just say one thing to you? Mm. You must expect now that Tony Abbott will challenge.
Yes.
And by rights will have the numbers. Well, you would think, given the circumstances, he has the moral authority that you have to go.
No, I don't think so. I want to look at the economic figures. Unemployment down, jobs growth up. Interest rates
how's that different?
Stable for how's two that, or three years.
No, Mr.
I mean,
Turnbull,
inflation
that's not
down.
Relevant.
Okay, let's talk
do,
about
do
Tony.
Admit
Tony
it.
Is on the poly pedal at the moment, okay?
he's
got the lycra on. The poly pedal is raising money. A bunch of politicians on bucks. I think he's in Melbourne. He was either in Melbourne yesterday or today. If you see him out on the road, just run him over.
Mr.
Just
Turnbull.
Swerve into the bike line
Mr.
and
Turnbull,
take him out.
Do you regret,
take out the whole peloton.
Do you regret the decision to have said this in the past?
like Sher once said, if I could turn back time, I'd go further back than the time when I became Prime Minister and use this as a metric to measure success. And I'd go all the way back to when Tony was conceived.
I put it to you, you're a fraud.
Burned that house his parents were in.
You let yourself down, you've let your party down. You're at a very vulnerable stage, and what you do next will inform your legacy as Prime Minister.
Now, Michael.
Oh, he's got the finger out.
This is what I do on the 7:30 report. When I don't like what Lee's saying, I say, now, Lee.
Yeah, you'll strap yourself in when Lee gets hold of you.
Are you going on Lee? You're going on Lee tonight, or you've got to be close? Well, she's got Tony Abbott on.
I don't know who she's got on, but
she's got someone on.
She'll tell me a new one tonight at 7:30.
If Tony Abbott goes on, it'll be all complimentary, won't it?
Well, really, do people want to see the mad monk back in there again with those massive ears and all his mistakes? I mean, they were like a Whitman sampler. Do you remember? What about which one do you go for next? The time he ate a raw onion?
Don't you think?
Or when he made himself Minister for Women?
I don't think you would mind if you finished up being Prime Minister, to be honest. I think your job's done.
Got me. You've got me. I quit.
Yeah. Lawrence Mooney to join us next on Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Lawrence Mooney, everybody.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Jane.
Lawrence.
It's nice to be in here.
Hot pursuit of the PM, you now, are.
Yes, I can actually tell you that the PM, the show that's happening at the festival, An Evening with Malcolm Turnbull, it's me. I play the PM.
What?
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert. Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Magician never tells his
tricks. The other day I got in trouble for suggesting something about the Easter Bunny and Santa on this program and the legitimacy thereof. And I was howled down.
Look, you've hidden that very well. And you've done that very well.
Yeah,
congratulations.
It's a big reveal, like at the end of Tootsie, when Dustin Hoffman says, I'm not really a woman. Well, guys, I'm not really a prime minister. But it's a... We were talking about the 30
about Titch Bowden.
Titch Shorten.
Pardon me.
Titch Shorten. Bill Shorten, the opposition leader, came along.
He doesn't like you for calling him tits.
No, he does not. He came along to the show last Sunday. With his
To come and see the show.
To come and see the show, and I tried to encourage him to be the guest on the couch, and he said, "Listen, I'm with my son." And it's hard enough having the opposition leader as a dad. I'm not going to, spoil the night. There's a question, multiple choice question, is what nickname does Bill Shorten hate the most? Blackout Bill the Alien Head, or Titch Shorten? And the correct answer is Titch Shorten. But I also follow that up with an anecdote about how Bill does not like that sobriquet, if you will.
Well, fair enough.
You know this is a fact?
Yes, I do know because he body shamed me at a Labor Party function recently.
Did he really?
Yes.
Well, set it recently. Up for us.
Well, that's just one coming back over the net, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was in Canberra and Sam Dastyari and Bill and I were having a drink and Bill said to Sam, can you hear that? And he goes, and Sam goes, what? And he goes, that's screaming. Can you hear that screaming? And Sam said, I can't hear anything. He goes, it must be the buttons on Lawrence's shirt.
Were you there?
I was standing right there.
Oh, my God. Bill Shorten.
That's pretty funny.
Now, there's two things happening simultaneously, and that is a deep sense of hurt and embarrassment and humiliation. And as a, left-leaning red ragger, I was so stoked to be put down by possibly the future Prime Minister of the country to be, nailed like I was in the Parliament. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Screaming.
Oh, I love the setup too.
Isn't it good? Yeah, good for you. I was listening as well. I can't hear anything.
Sounds like a weird joke, by the way. You said I was there with Sam Dastyari and Bill Shorten and myself. Sounds like the start of a joke, but
remember
you were
Sam Dastyari? He sold secrets for a lemon chicken.
yeah, he did. In the fine tradition. Was he the opposition leader at the comedians' lunch you went to?
No, the opposition leader wasn't there, although he would have been welcome each year.
Tell me about this. So this is I've been to a couple
of these
in the past.
The 16th annual.
These are fantastic, and if time permitted, I would have loved to have been there. But talk us through it.
You can't make it every year. Jack Levi. Yeah. Hello, Lawrence. Jack Levi here. Yes, otherwise known as... Elliot Goblet.
Elliot Goblet.
Now,
very
for a
funny
complete
man.
Change of pace. A lot of people will remember him from the Hey Hey days with the zinc cream on the nose.
Definitely.
And he organises a a comics lunch, and so on Thursday there was 16 assembled. Now, nobody's trying to be funny at these things, but there's a lot of naturally lot funny on. People. Right? And so it's very funny. And we were down at Riva in St Kilda, and Jack's an ambassador down there, yeah. And every year we get a discount. And he got up and he goes, well, welcome to the 16th comedian's lunch. An immediate somebody always heckles him. Good on you, Jack.
Straight off the bat.
Here we go. Come on, no heckling. And when he says no heckling, then the whole table just pours abuse on him. People just scream out vile heckles. No heckling. Come on, guys, settle down, which is hilarious straight away. And then he announces there will be no discount this year. And Vince Serrini does a great mock anger. He just goes, oh, this one! Hands up and punches the table. It was so much fun. I caught up with Borny.
Oh, hello.
Shane Borny.
Party, hi.
I am loving your Prime Minister. It is terrific work. No, seriously. And,
tell me, did he have his harmonica on him?
He did not have his harmonica on him. Here we go. He goes, no, seriously, I nearly pissed myself laughing. No, it's great stuff. he's so funny, Shane. Like, he's a really tall man, so when he's standing over you, just going, you are terrific. Oh, hey ho. I tell you what, Dancing with the Stars, cha cha cha. Ow. Oh. Okay, Jack, let's have a steak. So it was nice to catch. God, I love his company. Good. The funniest moment of the afternoon, I'm sitting opposite Hung Lee and we're having a chat and the meals are getting served and I cut into my steak and I hear Hung just go, how do you use these? And he's... And he's holding two forks together and he's got his steak clamped like they're chopsticks and he's just waving it around.
That must be exhausting.
That could be a show for the Comedy Festival. They should have 200,
16 comedians.
16 comedians and just have 200 people watching that.
I'd pay to see that.
It got away from us in the end. It gets a little large.
You're halfway through the Comedy Festival, your tenure there about, do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll get through another half?
I have got to make sure that I don't go to the comedy lunch next year.
that would be
Thursday night that people didn't get the quality they deserved.
That's the show I would want to have been in.
Me too.
Is what I'm saying. All right, mate. Thank you for swinging by.
Always a pleasure.
We really appreciate it, mate.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We've been up early or staying up late, whichever way.
For about three mornings in a row.
A little from column A, a little from column B, to drink in the magic that is the US Masters. Oh, it's such a great tournament.
That's it. I used to call it the Manny Man song when this music would come on. Because it's all these guys who are so upstanding and noble and understand how...
Yes. The traditions of the game and what it is and what it means to win this prestigious tournament. Yes. It gives me goosebumps, music, some of the clips of the greats from the past in slow motion, sometimes black and white, from Bob Jones to Arnold Palmer to Jack Nicklaus to Tiger Woods, all putting their footsteps in history down on
and
the
all
mighty
the
Augusta
commentators,
course.
Exactly.
So I'm doing it now.
You are.
The music's taking me on.
But it is. It's just the way they speak about each legend.
When we come back, we will put the jacket on the 67th winner. The US Masters. Oh. And then they capture some shots of some flowers behind the
It looked so magnificent, didn't it?
Oh. Fantastic.
The course looked great. But the winner...
Unfortunately, this year, it's a dirty cheat.
Hang on.
Well, hang on. So, obviously, we all want the winner to be, and you wonder. And this year, the big...
Well, Sergio Garcia, great guy, won last year.
And you know why?
Everyone loves him.
Everyone loved it because it looked like he was going to go... At one stage, he was the youngest guy. They were predicting he'll win a major.
Yep.
And it looked like he wasn't going to.
Yes.
And then bang. Mm. So that's magical.
It is.
This year, Tiger Woods on the verge of a comeback, which will be, if
the
he wins a major, the greatest comeback in sport. And it could have happened.
Great. The Aussies did great. You know, we're rooting for the Aussie boys as well. But
instead, what we got was a less than popular win.
Now, you've called him a cheat already.
Well, no, I'm quoting a headline which came out hours after. He won. entitled A Cheat and a Thief.
Jeepers. Wow. Okay. So, this is Patrick Reed, who's won.
And he's not a popular guy on the circuit. And I'll just outline a little bit of history so you know what we're talking about. And by the way, you don't want to be called a cheat in golf.
Oh, never.
Some golfers, I think, would rather be outed as a pedophile before being called a cheat.
All right, we get it. Like,
it's serious. It's a slur. It's a serious slur.
Well, Donald Trump cheats in golf, so that's the kind of person we're talking about.
You be careful about this.
Okay.
Even I don't defend him on many things, but you want to make sure that's true.
People who have played with him have said that.
Yes, well, he's driven his golf cart onto the green to tap in. As far as I'm concerned, man's a pig. So here are the claims against him that he moved balls. So he was played at uni level, which in America is like you're on a college scholarship.
Yep.
He moved balls. The claims, he moved balls in tournaments while he was at the uni.
Yeah, that's
not good. He actually stole money from his teammates.
Jeepers.
While he was at the at that uni.
Yes.
The uni were contacted by the journalist and they said, "We agree with everything in the report."
Wow.
And that's all they would say.
Wow.
He's been known to use homophobic slurs in the past, notably on himself.
Oh, Jeepers.
Yes, he's having a food to himself.
Wow.
In unsavoury language. He slagged off other golfers quite a lot, namely Jordan Spieth, who's very popular on the circuit.
Who came
and
second.
Would have been a great win.
Oh.
Shot 64, could have had a 62 to win it, would have beaten him in a playoff, no doubt. He big notes himself. He's called himself, after he won one tournament, hadn't even won, I don't even know if he'd played in a major, said, "I'm one of the best five golfers in the world." Yeah, no, there's a time and a place for that, and it's heavyweight boxing.
Yeah.
Or UFC. Or Conor McGregor or something like that.
Humility is something you're looking for at this point.
And his family, Jane, you've done a bit of research on this. His family's...
It's not a great situation.
It?
He's estranged from his parents and his sister. Has been for years since he got married. In 2012, he got married. His parents didn't go to the wedding. His parents were not there today.
Yeah.
When he won the Masters.
That's not good.
It's not good.
When you see those pictures of Tiger Woods coming off and hugging his father, and who was not well at the time, after everything they put together, these are great scenes.
And kind of like the family in the early days has to be there and has to be supportive on the way up, and it's a very messy, bad situation, I'm afraid.
Well, the only family was there was his brother-in-law, who's his caddy, his wife's brother. It's all a bit weird. It's all a bit weird.
But suffice to say,
it's just not really.
It wasn't. The cheering was a bit flat, you know. And, you know, the guy lives in. He was brought up in Augusta and his parents lived round the corner.
Oh, man.
Isn't that terrible?
It's sad.
It's sad,
but the guy's a bit of a dick. If you believe all that stuff, which. And no one's.
Well, he pulled his finger out and did the right thing when he got the jacket on and when he spoke today.
All right.
Do we have a bit of him?
Yeah.
Oh, we do.
This is him winning.
Yeah.
Will it be his life-changing moment?
Yes, it will. Captain America. Catcher's Augusta.
And I just want to say thank you to all y'all, and hopefully there's a lot more to come.
Hopefully not.
tough, I know, but it's not a great popular win.
But it got us thinking about, I mean, this isn't the first unpopular win.
There's been
a few. Shall we just, do you want to name a couple? Give us a call, 133353, if you think you can add anything to the pile.
I mean, there might be sports people, but it might be the Academy Award-winning movie of 2018, Shape of Water.
You really?
You got it in for it, don't you?
And I agree with you on this one.
Sorry, no one's seen that film.
No one's seen it.
And it's a crap film.
Right,
and
go see The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Yeah.
That is. Sorry, that's the best we can do?
Guy Tungy's a slithery reptile.
That's not happening.
And it's a date film. Chicks love it. I mean, stop it. 30,000 people have seen it worldwide.
Well,
it's taken
rubbish.
The chockies. That's unbelievable.
Well, it is. Have you got another one?
Oh, Turnbull. Malcolm Turnbull. I would say that he's won the election. I would say right now he's the most unpopular world leader.
Well, hang on. Let's say factually.
Factually.
30 survey results
30
say,
ba-bow. Which was enough to remove, at his insistence, Tony Abbott from the party. And here he is trying to play down the importance of those 30 news polls.
I regret making those remarks at the time, making the remarks about 30 news polls at the time. But what I promised to do was to provide economic leadership and traditional cabinet government.
And change the subject.
And by the way, I regret making those comments. Makes it sound like it was a throwaway. It was the reason for the push.
Yeah. Totally.
He had to go because it wasn't a comment. It was your...
Well, from Malcolm Turnbull to another one.
Who?
Stu from The Bachelorette.
I'll go with you on this.
Okay, so Sophie Monk, Stu. She picks this guy. Let's have a listen.
The moment I hopped off that chopper, I knew I'd done the right thing. I love everything about you. I know it took me forever to say, but I didn't want to get it wrong. You have rescued me.
Yeah, well, that was all rubbish, wasn't it? He wasn't very pop. People were not... Happy.
They
like
that blubby little sook, the sookie mala. Jared. People were rooting for Jared.
They were rooting for Jared and Stu.
Stu bobs up.
And that's all over Red Rover now. So
I'll give you one. What about Melbourne Storm? So Melbourne Storm. I love Melbourne Storm.
Yes, I do too, but not popular around the traps.
Not popular in certain parts of New South Wales. Mm. The commentator, and Brisbane, of course, although most of them play for their...
State, that's right.
You can actually hear the commentators literally stop and lose it.
Steaming.
When Melbourne Storm came. Like I said, Bentley, they stripped to them subsequently.
Phil Gould hates them.
Phil Gould is just...
hates Melbourne Storm.
You can hear they go quiet.
Yeah.
They just go quiet and they stop commentating when it's snowing.
I like this subject. Give us a call.
Talking unpopular winners, if you've got one, give us a ring.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Taking your calls on 133353. Get us on Kennedy Molloy Facebook, Instagram as well. Unpopular winners.
Yeah, that's right. Unpopular victories. It doesn't have to be sport, although we've probably headed you down that track.
We have, and that's okay. I did take you down the Bachelorette track, of course, but it can be politics. It can be
from any walk of life. It's all in honour today of Patrick Reed, who's won the US Masters, and it's less than them.
He's not the most popular winner they've ever had, let's put it that way.
Well, there was a headline which basically just said, a cheat and a thief, and then rolled out his history, and I go, that's probably...
Some of the tweets that have gone out too today.
Yes, okay. You be careful there. There's a couple, that could get you.
One just said, Patrick Reed seems to be quite the C.
You can fill in the blanks there. Yes. Can I buy a vowel?
Not many blanks.
All right, Richie is on the line. Richie, give us your idea of an unpopular victory.
Early in the 2000s, you had Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello.
Yep.
Schumacher was clearly the better driver most of the time, but Rubens this time was out in front.
Yes.
Clearly out in front by about 4 seconds, and the Ferrari team told him to slow down, pull over, and let Schumacher win to increase his lead in the World Championship. And, man, Rubens just did it like a gentleman, and I love Schumacher. I thought that.
Yeah, I get you, mate. I agree with you.
Yep.
And it's the greatest fix in racing. I don't know any other sport where a team can actually say to you, or that you don't immediately get... charged with tanking.
Correct. Has Daniel Ricciardo been a recipient of that kind of treatment? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, teams have got other ways. But that when a teammate, and it's your teammate too, tells you that you
shocking.
Have to slow down so that we can rig the finishing positions.
No, I
totally
agree.
Give Richie a prize.
Yeah, that's
there.
A good one, Richie.
Richie, you have a prize. You have yourself a Kennedy Molloy prize pack coming.
Bang.
Right.
Thank you.
There you go. Scott. Unpopular victory, who and what was the victory?
Hi guys, it's more of a person I'm thinking of, which I think I speak for a lot of people, and that would be Anthony Mundine.
Well, that's
anything he's involved in.
Well, there is, he rubs people the wrong way, I think deliberately, because that's part of his shtick.
Yes.
He's in the tradition of
antagonistic
showman.
Kind of
but
behavior
he seems
he
to be pretty good at it. I'd love to hear the victory, but we don't have one in question. Anyway, we take your point, Anthony. Matt.
Thank you, Scott.
Guys, how are you, Jane, Mick?
Good, yeah. Who would you like to call out? Unpopular victory?
Yeah, just a little bit of a one. Just back in 1992 when Jim Richards won Bathurst. After he crashed the car after the red flag, decided to turn around and call the crowd a pack of a-holes because they all booed him.
I totally can remember this. We're in shock. Yeah.
That's a definition of an unpopular victory.
It is. You just don't turn against the crowd, do you?
Yeah. Pack of arseholes. Well said, Matt. Hey, Matt Price from
Oh, sure, Matt. You've got a $100 fuel voucher coming your way.
You're guilty. Thanks, right.
Good on you, Matt.
Okay, Penny, unpopular victory. Anything spring to mind?
Surely it is the President of the United States.
Oh, jeez.
Surely it is, honestly.
That could go down in history.
And I think everyone's still in shock over that. Unfortunately, you know, there wasn't a lot of competition at the time. Well, and, you know, I think that's what happens.
He has to remember that, and history will record, that he did not win the popular vote. So he's a Prime Minister who got less votes than his immediate competitor. Yeah.
And we're not quite sure how he really acquired those votes in the end, are we? But there's a little bit of suspicion about how that was.
Well, they were got properly, but whether they were influenced by the Russians or by Facebook or whatever, but the result is, yes, there's a question mark, a historical question mark over
over
that
his
result,
victory. Very hollow.
Which he didn't win anyway. All right.
And Chris, have you got, what's your suggestion for sort of a win that's pretty unpopular?
Well, Richmond winning the Premiership last
year. No prize for you. Next
good try,
call,
Chris.
Please.
Good on you, Chris. Like
we've got some other calls.
We have. Let me just grab this one. What about Scott?
Scott, there.
Hey,
hello,
Scott.
G'day. There you go, guys. You guys are old enough to remember this. And that'd be Dennis Connor with America's Cup.
Totally.
That's right.
Dennis Connor, a great one. And he was a very good call, Scott. He was a very unlikable character.
He was kind of a little arrogant, smug and smarmy, I seem to recall, in his victory speech.
He was, and he was not well liked. But he knew the odds. And the thing was, he knew that the skipper who loses the America's Cup for the first time will bring disgrace on their country, which he did.
Yeah.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're both coming down after watching the US Masters all weekend. Great tournament.
Have we got some more music can play again? I just like hearing that. That's it.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome to the tee. The 67th winner of Augusta, Mick Malloy. I'll tell you what you do dream about a lot when you imagine often if you could have anyone's swing, whose swing would you have? And this usually involves then robust conversation between said group of friends on WhatsApp.
Okay.
You didn't know I was on it, did you?
I did not. I'm very impressed. That's two WhatsApps you're on.
And it's always fun. And you know, there's some good swings out there. And here's the more popular ones. Adam Scott.
Really?
He's
a
very, very good, easy.
He's got good posture.
Ernie Els, I like. The big easy, they call him.
He looks like a nice
Tiger
guy.
Woods just comes up.
I like his.
Personally, I prefer his wife's. If I could have any swing, it would probably be his wife as he's trying to back the car out at midnight after being busted, rooting around.
I'm keen on Jan Stevenson's swing for me.
Oh, legend.
I'm more concerned about her very beautiful skirts. Back in the day, it was golfing chic.
I know, don't worry. She was the honey.
Hottest female golfer in history.
No question.
Well, no question. Put it in her own calendar.
There you go.
You don't see that every day.
No, you don't. Loved it.
No, you don't. What about...
Who else? Jack
Nicholson in Heavy Traffic? Remember Jack Nicholson in a road rage scenario?
Oh, yes, I do.
He jumped out of his car.
I do.
And attacked the one in front.
I'm envisaging this is going to happen to you one day.
What's that?
In a road rage incident.
Right.
One of your clubs in your hand.
Cool under fire.
Who's your dream swing?
Ernie Els. What's more, a dream is the fashion. We mentioned this earlier. We were talking about music off.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We were talking about the...
I agree. Was this really annoying me?
What are we doing? Are we in an elevator? What's happening? Hey, we were talking about the fashion before, and I mooted the concept that, to me...
Which I like a lot.
Golf fashion allows heterosexual men to just...
Be a little flamboyant.
Be a little gay, just for a short moment. Well, it's queer
a
eye
bit
for...
showbiz.
Queer eye for the straight guy.
Really?
Queer golf of... For the straight eye.
It is.
And because if you ever look, there's no way you would wear orange pants, white shoes, a white top, and then a peak cap that's also happened to be orange down the shops to get a carton of milk. And there's many
examples.
And yet
they did it today. One of the boys was wearing orange pants.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. But that's at golf.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. The fashion's
so crazy.
At golf. He's completely off the charts, and people have been sending us. Can we post?
Sure, we'll do that.
Of these, that would be fantastic. At the moment, the late Payne Stewart seems to be taking the chockies. He's wearing orange plus fours, tucked into white socks, white shoes, a vest, and then.
It's not the sexiest look.
No.
Oh, look! Now he looks like a banana in pajamas. He's got yellow plus fours. He was a plus four champion. This guy.
So do you
many
have plus
good
fours?
Looks. I don't know. Well, plus fours traditionally was actually to tuck your pants into your socks because it got so windy.
Oh, no
over
kidding.
Over the ball. There was a reason really? For it. Not just high fashion.
Wow.
If I could choose anything, it would be the peak cap with a pom-pom.
That would suit you.
Hey, by the way, we're going to tweet out those photos that Mick's talking about on Twitter, at Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
Cheer up, little buckaroo.
I'm really sad.
I know
really
you missed him. He was only out here for a little bit, but, you know, obviously you guys need to get better organised. Tinder was down, so you probably couldn't hook up.
We're
talking about Prince Edward, who was in Australia, right under your nose. Where was he seen?
He was in country Victoria yesterday.
He was actually about 2 kilometres from me on Saturday morning.
Playing royal tennis.
Playing royal tennis with a friend of ours.
With a friend of yours, Russell Howcroft.
And he actually sent a photo. And I just went, but, you know, where was my invitation to play? I could have been ball girl. Do you have ball girls in royal tennis?
I wouldn't have thought so. Well, if you did, you'd be wearing Victorian era gear. You'd be wearing a girdle.
Quite like that.
And made out of whalebone.
Now you're talking.
About 3 levels of underpants and a bonnet.
I reckon I could rock a bonnet.
Right.
Yeah, I think the bonnet sailed for you, that ship.
Nothing sailed for me, baby.
This is a guy who has a chamber pot, don't forget. So,
correct.
You know,
you nearly broke your chamber pot.
Did you see me panic?
I panicked too.
I accidentally kicked the chamber pot, which luckily is empty.
It's actually got a good ring to it.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to have the chamber pot at my exhibition for Mitcoin. We're going to draw.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We can have a raffle.
We can have a raffle and draw out the winner for my chamber pot. The chamber pot will be there, spinning on a dais.
You're really thinking about this whole exhibition.
It's going to be very big. It's going to be very exclusive.
A la Russell Crowe.
Well, now we've got the lightweights out of the way.
You better give him a call, get advice on how to run your auction.
Hello, mate.
He'll get you sorted.
Lee Sales to join us tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And also Manu will be on the show as well.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.